Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
October 2nd, 2007, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, book publishing for photographers. Welcome back to another edition of the Digital Story. I have a very special interview today for you with Jennifer Sauer. She is a photographer, longtime professional photographer, who talks about publishing her first book and how she got it done. It's really very informative discussion, and I think you're going to love it. So before we get to Jennifer, I'm going to cover just a couple things. First of all, we have a new photo assignment for the month. That's right, it's October. Time for a new photo assignment, and I have a good one for you. This month's photo assignment is going to be close-up. Close-up, that's right. You're going to get out that macro lens. You're going to go to the macro setting on your compact camera. You're going to get close to subjects, and you're going to explore the world of close-up photography. This should be a really nice-looking gallery. You've got lots of time to think about it. You have all the way to the end of October to get your close-up submission turned in. Start thinking about what you want to shoot now, and go take those shots. Close-up for October. I also want to mention, you know, last week's show was podcast number 100, and I got lots of really nice comments and emails from Digital Story listeners, and I'm going to pull some of those comments together, and next week we'll do a little mailbag and talk a little bit about what some of the folks had to say as they have survived 100 shows of the Digital Story. So we'll add a mailbag to next week's show, so sit tight for that. I didn't want to do it this week because I have such a great conversation with Jennifer, and I really wanted you to be able to hear the whole thing. And finally, before we start talking to our special guest, I want to mention that Boink Software, the makers of Photomagico, the best slideshow software in the world, are great sponsors to the Digital Story, and you can find out more about them by clicking on a tile on any page of the Digital Story, and they'll take you right to their website, Photomagico Slideshow Software. Okay, so I'm not going to spend much time setting this up because I don't really need to. I think the interview is really self-explanatory. I think you're going to enjoy it. But basically what Jennifer did was she had an idea for a book, for a project, and she talks about how she went from idea to actual published book that you can buy right now. It's called The Way to Tea, and I think you'll be very, very interested in hearing what Jennifer has to say about how she did this. And I'm going to turn it over right now to the interview, and then I will see you guys next week, and we'll do a whole grab bag worth of stuff next week. But let's get right to the interview. Sit tight. This is going to be a good one. I'm here with Jennifer Sauer, and she is the author of The Way to Tea, and there's more to that title, isn't there, Jennifer?
Your Adventure Guide to San Francisco Tea Culture.
Jennifer made sure that we get the whole title in, and I don't blame her. So it's a beautiful title. She's a photographer. She's now a published author. Is this your first book?
It's my first book.
Fabulous. So we're going to talk to Jennifer today about photography. We're going to talk about getting a book published. We're going to talk about how do you deal with technology today as a photographer? Because you are also a working pro, are you not?
Yes.
Yes. So just give us a brief overview of what you were doing before this book, how this book idea came to you, and then how do you get a book published? I think we'll go down that road today.
Okay. I started working as a photographer in 1990, and had been living in Asia for several years and then hit the ground running here and became a photographer. And I was a documentary photographer who didn't want to be a starving documentary photographer. So I actually looked for clients who would hire me to do what I naturally wanted to do and did well. So I did a lot of work in healthcare and education and worked with also large foundations. So I ended up doing a lot of annual report work for, you know, large organizations like University of California, Catholic Healthcare West, Genentech, Agilent, HP. I worked with companies like that, as well as doing some editorial work. I did a lot of work with Forbes and Parenting and Ms. Magazine, and as well as a little bit of newspaper work in the beginning of my career.
So at what point in all of this work did you begin to make the transition from film into digital?
Wow. Well, I guess that transition happened probably, 2007, probably around 2002. Mm-hmm. I started working with digital cameras, and for a very long time, maybe even 2000, somewhere between 2000 and 2002. And I don't know, because for a long time, I would shoot both on a job, and I would show up with my film camera and with my digital camera, and I would tell my clients, you know, I would just be honest and say, you know, I really want to find the best ways to service you, and I know that you like, you know, quick turnaround and all of that, so, you know, I'm going to shoot film on this, and I'm going to shoot digital on this, but I'm going to back it up with film. And I felt so safe with film. I knew film inside and out. I had the films I liked to work with, and, you know, the labs that I like to work with, and I knew exactly what I was going to get. And digital was just this, unknown world. So I say somewhere between 2000 and 2002, because I don't think I made a full commitment to digital until probably at least maybe even 2003.
So what digital camera finally gave you the confidence to leave the film at home and just shoot strictly digital?
I used the Canon 20D at first. Mm-hmm. And then when I decided to do this book, I also shoot for Getty as a stock photographer, and they actually don't accept images from the 20D. So I wanted to be sure that I was using a camera that would really help me with stock as well. So I bought the 5D just prior to working on this book. So I work with the 5D now.
And how do you like the 5D?
I love it.
Yeah.
I do love it.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful images. Well, great. Okay, so you were a working photographer and making a living, not starving, which is always good to hear. And then this project appeared on your radar. How did that happen?
I was actually asked to do some work with Apple Computers to test one of their professional software applications. And they asked me to go out and shoot a couple of gigs of anything I wanted. And so I found myself in Chinatown in San Francisco. And a Chinese man beckoned me into a tea tasting shop, and I went in to have some tea, just using my usual photographer's curiosity. And it was just fascinating when I went inside. There were just, you know, jars and jars and jars of these beautifully shaped and colored teas, and a big tea bar, and everybody was sitting around the tea bar talking about tea and culture and art and politics and economy and everything in between, and tea as medicine, how to pair teas with foods. And it was just such a rich subject matter that I was just immediately taken by it, both intellectually and visually. And the tea didn't taste too bad either. So
there you go. The photographer's path to tea, right?
That's right. And actually, I was, you know, you asked what I was doing before, and I was doing healthcare-related photography, and some editorial work. And I felt just a little bit stale, and I felt a little bit tired. I mean, mm-hmm. I'd been working for more than 15 years as a commercial photographer. Like most commercial photographers, I'd had probably 3 vacations in those 15 mm-hmm. years, and I was physically tired. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great to sit and have tea and talk about art mm-hmm. and politics and natural healing and health for like 6 months?
Exactly.
I wonder how I could do this.
Exactly.
And I thought, ooh, maybe I'll do a book on tea. Mm-hmm. And then I went to another tea lounge that was a British tea lounge instead of Chinese. And I thought, wow, this is so interesting. All these different expressions of tea, but there are certain aspects of tea that are consistent throughout. And so I talked to the owner of this British tea room, Lovejoy's in San Francisco. And this woman, Muna Nash, said, oh, you know, I told her I wanted to do a book on tea and I would go back to Asia and shoot in Asia. And she said, no, don't go back to Asia. Stay right here. We really need a book on San Francisco tea culture. Mm. So that's how I got the initial idea to do this book. And I thought, that's great. I want to spend 6 months just writing about and shooting tea.
So if you don't mind, I'd like to get into the actual book part of it, because I think I'm fascinated by it, and I know a lot of our listeners are too. So is this one of the things where you just start working on the book and say, I'm going to find a publisher later? Or did you think, well, you know, I really need to find a publisher, get that straightened away, and then, you know, start working on the book? How, tell us a little bit about that process, and how do you even, once you have an idea, how do you even get started in that end of it?
Well, I'd have to say that it's one moment where I was really grateful for my impulsivity, because I was really in love with this idea, and I really believed in the idea. I thought it was a wonderful subject, and it was a very timely subject, and I was really on fire. I was really passionate about it, and I didn't really even think about going to a publisher to find a publisher. It didn't occur to me. I just thought, well, I can do this. I can do this myself. And I just gave myself a goal of shooting and writing it in a few months, which I did.
Did you actually set up a workflow, a schedule?
I did. I set up a schedule, and I shot three places a week. So I spent 5 to 6 hours in each tea room.
And you had to research and do all that to even know where you're going to shoot. There's a lot of logistics here.
That's right. Well, a lot of that happened on the front end. I really narrowed down who I wanted to photograph and what I thought were the most impressive tea places in the Bay Area. And also, I wanted diversity, so I didn't want any of it to be redundant. So I was really careful about who I chose to be in the book. And then I worked very, very hard. It sounds like I didn't do that much work on it, but actually I work very, very hard and very intensively when I work. I was able to shoot all of the book in about 6 weeks. I did a little bit later as well. My timeline ended up unraveling a little bit. Yeah. So I did shoot a little bit more later. I went back to several of them, and some of them I went back to several times, you know, not only to shoot, but just to learn. Mm-hmm. And then I did the writing over a period of time as well, and did, you know, that required really a lot of research, because I was new to tea.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time talking to tea professionals, going to tea lounges, tea rooms, tea education, tea ceremony, you know, reading a lot, and then also writing a lot as well. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to a publisher right off. When I actually went to, I hired a graphic designer. Once I finished the bulk of the work, I hired a graphic designer to create a foundational layout for the book. Mm-hmm. And I did the picture layout myself.
And what software did you use for that?
For the layout?
Yeah.
We used Quark. We used an older software program. We used Quark, and that worked fine. And then I started looking for printers and had, you know, some leads on good printers.
So you were thinking you were just going to do this thing yourself at one point. I'm just going to do it. I'm completely confident about it.
I was, and, you know, I sound like a high roller here, which I'm not, but I was so confident in my idea that I didn't even think about cost when I started. I just decided, I'm doing this. I'm just doing it. That's it.
Yeah.
Then I went to a couple of printers and to get price quotes. And in both cases, in going to the printer, they said, wow. Mm-hmm. I brought my book on the laptop and showed them my Quark. You know, I opened it up in Quark and said, this is my book. You know, the printing has to be really great. And they just went, wow, this is a great book. It's beautiful. And
it is beautiful, by the way. I need to say that about four times during this interview. It is absolutely gorgeous.
Well, I have to say that some of that is thanks to Nancy Campana, who did the design of the book in terms of the actual foundational design of the book. She did a great job. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they looked at the book and said, wow, this is great. And, you know, printers all know publishers. They work for publishers. Mm-hmm. Publishers hire them all the time, and they're friends, and they go on vacation together, and they share pictures of their kids together. Their wives know each other and all of that. So when they see a good book, they want to help their friends. They're, you know, publishers are always looking for a good book, and they're especially looking for people exactly like me who are planning to self-publish, who have pretty much completed their entire book, and, you know, they're right on the edge of going to press with it. They want to catch you before you go to press, because they want to take your book.
Yeah, in the publishing world, we call this a package deal, which means you've basically done everything.
You've done everything.
Yeah.
And in my case, I even had, you know, I had arranged for tea professionals to give me blurbs on the back of the book, and I found kind of the grand poobah of tea in the United States to write the foreword for the book. So I really had a nice package for someone. But as I got closer to it, I realized, you know, maybe I have something even better. I thought I had something really, really good, but I thought, wow, it must be really good. And so I decided that I wanted to maintain control of the book. Some of it is very, very slightly political. Didn't want that taken out. It's also, I had done the photo layout myself, and I wanted to maintain that. I didn't want someone to say, well, this photo is a little too edgy, or this, you know, we'd like to change this and make it cuter or sweeter. I didn't want that. I really wanted to maintain the vision that I had started with. So because of that, I decided I wanted to maintain control of the book, but I did have two publishers who agreed to distribute the book. And you do have to allow them to put their label on, mm-hmm. on your book, and so mm-hmm. you are giving it to them. They do become the publisher. In my case, I maintained the rights to the book and continued to be the rights holder. But then it's a great deal because you have the distributor, you're under the aegis of a publisher, so you're protected in the printing process. Mm-hmm. They know the printer. The printer is going to take good care of you because they want those 150 other books that publisher prints. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of real benefits. Plus, I had the benefit of the publisher Earthaware Editions in San Rafael. I had the great benefit of them helping me to choose a cover mm-hmm. and to make, you know, other decisions about the book in terms of distribution. Mm-hmm. So that's invaluable. And I thought, you know, as a brand new author and book creator, that's, I think, it's a really nice way to do it. And then I created some exclusions so I could still handle some of the distribution myself and therefore some of the more direct profits as well.
Actually, I want to chime in a little bit on this because I'm also in the publishing side of things and I've seen the market change. And one of the ways that I've seen it change is that photographers who want to get books published, if they come in to the deal with things thought out, with their pictures already captured, if they have a layout already, basically, as you're saying, where you basically have the whole package, those photographers are having an easier time now getting book deals than someone that just goes to a publisher with an idea and says, I have this great idea, I'm a good photographer, you know, will you sign a contract with me and then we'll get to work. So the former, the package deal like you did, that's a very good way to go now. And I also think that you do have a lot of options because you've already done the work, it's yours. And then it's just a matter of finding a good fit in terms of publishing and distribution. I do think at that point, a publisher is helpful because they can open a lot of doors in terms of distribution that you would have a hard time as a self published author getting into, for instance, Barnes & Noble, making sure that you're cataloged correctly in Amazon, all those sort of things publishers do well. And I think it's harder as an individual. So I just wanted to say that the trend that I'm seeing now is the approach that you took is a good approach for photographers who have a great idea. Just start doing it. Just start doing it. And then the thing that I didn't know that you did, which I just think is fabulous, is talking to printers and then having printers actually help you hook up with a publisher. That's wonderful, and I didn't know that, and that's a really great tip.
Yeah, that was it was very fortunate. I didn't know that would happen. The other thing I would want to express to people in terms of, you know, if you want to get your book published is, you know, I went just whole hog. I shot the entire thing, had mm-hmm. the whole thing designed, paid a high-end book designer to lay it out and everything, and wrote the whole thing, and was ready to go to press before I ever was approached by a publisher mm-hmm. or approached a publisher. But there's a much easier way to do this, which is to say, okay, my book is, like I could have said, okay, my book is about San Francisco tea culture, so I'm going to shoot three venues, write about those three venues, mm-hmm. put together a very short, concise summary or introduction, and then tell them who I might get to write a foreword, mm-hmm. and do a very basic layout. You know, find a good designer who can do a basic layout, but instead of paying them to lay out your entire book, mm-hmm. you're paying them to lay out maybe three spreads.
Yes.
Or let's say you're paying them to lay out 5-10% of your book rather than 100% of your book, yes. like I did. And then you go to a publisher and you say, I have this book idea.
Yes.
And you, at that point, haven't invested the kind of time and money that I invested into it. But, mm-hmm. you know, I I think in your case,
you were going to do it anyway, though. I mean, there was nothing that was going to stop you from doing this.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, what the publisher actually looked at before they made the agreement with me was three layouts.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't look at the whole book. They didn't look at all of it. Yeah. They didn't read all of it. They just went, wow. It's also a very timely subject. I chose a subject that's very timely. It's very fun, very amusing, very lighthearted, and also has real depth and beauty and intrigue and elegance. And there are very few subjects that have that combination. So I think, you know, choosing the subject is also very, very important. So the other thing I would say is if you say, okay, well, I want to do a book on baseball. You know, if you go to a publisher and you say, well, I want to do a book on baseball and here are my baseball pictures, let's say it's on Little League baseball. Well, you know, they're going to say, well, you know, why should I publish this book? Who's going to buy it? And, if you want to sell your book, package it in such a way that someone's going to want to buy it.
Yes.
You know, and think through your idea. Who's really your market for this? And what I've learned since is that no legitimate publisher is going to take your book unless they think it will sell 10 to 15,000 copies.
This is correct.
And then you have to research what books sell that many copies, what kinds of books will sell that many copies, and really think it through. You know, if you really want to sell to 1,000 people or 3,000 people, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But you might want to go in another direction. You might want to self-publish and do, you know, print on demand or something. You might make just as much money doing that as something else. But, you know, if you want to go to a publisher, think it through. Think about, you know, where is the market for my book? And then create something that's unique, not just another book on baseball, but why is your book on baseball going to be new, going to be attractive? Turn it into something else. Make it something that's not ordinary.
The term that publishers are using now to describe what you're talking about, which, is, by the way, is spot on, they're calling it platform. What they want to do is, what kind of platform do you as an author have that enables you to sell 10 to 15,000 copies or more of a book? You know, 10 to 15,000 copies is the minimum they want, but they would love it if you could sell more than that. But, you know, that definitely is a legitimate business idea. So everything that you're talking about sort of contributes to your platform. And then another piece of it is, do you have an audience that you talk to? Do you have a website? Do you have, what kind of network do you have that you can get the word out on, about this book? In your case, one of the networks that you have is actually through Apple. Part of the reason why we're sitting here is because of Apple, because you did some work in Aperture early on. The Aperture played a big role in this book, and suddenly you're through that network, you're meeting folks like me that's helping you get the word out on the book. So that platform is a big deal, you're right, and you need to think about that. I'm really glad you brought that part of it up.
That's important. And the other thing that's important that I've learned later, more from reading, but I think the publishers were probably excited because I was so excited, and they saw, okay, here's a person who's going to go out and do book signings. She's going to do everything she can to publicize her book. What I've read since I started this process is that, most publishers are not going to do all the publicity for you. You're going to do all the publicity for your book. So you better be on fire about it, because you're going to be spending your weekends and evenings doing book signings and talking about it and talking about your subject. So I would be very cautious. You know, I would caution people, don't choose a book that you think will just sell if you're not passionate about it, because it probably won't sell because you won't be out there selling it. And you're going to have to be out there talking about your book and loving your book, you know, and getting other people to be curious about it. So
I absolutely agree. So before we wrap up here, is there anything else that I didn't ask you that you wanted to add, you know, to this conversation?
One thing I wanted to add is if you are interested in self-publishing and if you're looking for a designer, one very good venue is Fastback Books. You can find them at fastbackbooks.com, and they will design your book and print it for a very, very reasonable price. And if I hadn't done it the way I did, I had my book printed in China and did, you know, more copies than was probably prudent. But if you want to do a smaller run and you need a designer, they do outstanding work. They work very quickly and at very reasonable prices.
That's a great tip.
I would recommend them.
And then also, okay, now how do people find your book and more about you?
You can go to the book's website, which is waytot.com. If you'd like a signed book, you can buy a signed copy of the book on that website. You can also find it in any tea lounge or tea room in the immediate San Francisco area and in bookstores nationwide.
You know, this is a great conversation, and it's going to be a wonderful food for thought for a lot of photographers. Thanks so much for stopping by, Jennifer, and best of luck with the book.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate your time and having me here.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.